If you follow the church liturgical calendar, which celebrates and remembers special days in the history of the church, you know that today is Pentecost Sunday. It's why we changed the pyramids to red, symbolizing fire, reminding us of the fire that came on Pentecost. Pentecost began as a festival for the Jews. Pentecost was the Greek name for the Jewish Feast of Weeks because it fell 7 weeks, which was a week of weeks, after another festival of first fruits. The festival of first fruits was a dedication of the first portion of the crops. But the Feast of Weeks was 50 days after the festival of first fruits, and the Feast of Weeks was to be for offering new grain to the Lord in the form of bread with yeast, along with burnt offerings, a grain offering, a drink offering, a sin offering, and a fellowship offering. It tells about it in Leviticus chapter 23. And the Greek word for, the term for the feast, or the festival of weeks, is Pentecost. We today celebrate it as the birthday of the church. And I hope we have some clarity and find out why today that we call it that. If we remember back a little bit, Jesus' words to his disciples were to go to Jerusalem. Before he ascended to heaven, he said to them, go to the city, go to Jerusalem, and wait there until the power from on high is poured out on you. So the disciples returned to Jerusalem from Galilee, where they had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and as Luke told us, they were filled with joy. They worshipped the ascended Christ, and they stayed in the temple worshipping God, waiting on the power from on high. Our text today tells us when the day of Pentecost came, so they were waiting there. When the day of Pentecost came, they, meaning the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Everybody's ears are perked up right now because we want to know about this thing of speaking in tongues, don't we? And I hope you have some clarity about it. They were all together, and suddenly it tells us a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It was a violent sound, a loud noise came from heaven and filled the whole house, so they could hear it. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So what they heard was the sound like a violent sound of violent wind blowing. What they saw were what seemed to be tongues of fire separating and coming to rest on each of the disciples. What does that mean? Well, you know me, I like to dig in and find out what these words mean. First of all, let's look at that. When they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. That word tongues in the Greek is glossa. It's where we get our word glossary from. But what it implies is a language. Okay? So what he's saying here is they saw what seemed to be languages of fire, like fiery languages, and that word in the Greek, which would have been written in, is pur, P-U-R, pur, which means like lightning. They saw what seemed to be languages coming like lightning that separated, like the lightning does, and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, in other glossa, in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, to understand fully what's going on here, we look at other translations, and I like the King James and the New American Standard Bible. The King James says there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and that word cloven means divided. So what they saw was divided and went on each one of them. Cloven tongues, like as of fire, in other words, like lightning, it came down and separated on each one of them, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The New American Standard Bible says there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves and resting on each one of them. Languages as of fire, fiery, like lightning came on them, distributed on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, that word tongues, in the Greek, as it is written here, is glossa. And it's by implication a language. A language that's naturally unacquired. In other words, it's a language that they didn't know, or that they couldn't speak, I should say. This word is not to be confused with the word glossolalia, which a lot of our friends out there confuse this word tongues with glossolalia. This was not glossolalia. Glossolalia is the combination of two Greek words, glossa and lalian. Glossa meaning tongue or language, and lalian to speak, and it means an uttering of unintelligible sounds, as in religious ecstasy. So we see here what rested on them was tongues, glossa, language. Languages rested on them. And they rested on them, they separated and rested on them like rain. They came down from heaven, and there they were. As the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. As the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. As the Spirit was giving them utterance. That utterance word from the Greek means to enunciate plainly. In other words, to state definitely and clearly, to declare or say something or speak forth. So the Spirit enabled them to state definitely and clearly what they were stating. I hope that's clear this morning. And there was a reason for it. It tells us there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Now, why were they there? They were there for the festival of the Feast of Weeks. They were from all over the place. From every nation under heaven. And it says, when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. They heard what was going on. They heard a ruckus. And they ran in to see what was going on. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were bewildered and utterly amazed. They said, aren't these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that we are hearing them, each of us, in our own native language? We're from all over the place. We're the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya and Cyrene were visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism. In other words, the Gentiles that had converted. Cretans, Arabs. We're all here from all over the place. But we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or languages. That makes sense now, doesn't it? Here they were, in this place, this ruckus happened. The languages came down from heaven on these men. For a purpose. This was not jibber-jabber that nobody could understand and everybody stood back saying, what? This was understandable language just given to the disciples for the purpose of declaring the wonders of God to everybody from all over the world that were there for the Festival of Weeks. And they said, amazed and perplexed, they said one to one another, what does this mean? These guys are Galileans, and we hear them speaking in our own native languages. They're declaring the wonders of God. What does this mean? But some, sadly, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. They were drunk. That's what they were saying. Pretty neat. Today we begin a four-part series on Pentecost. Pentecostal power, Pentecostal purpose, Pentecostal product. And lastly, we'll wind up in a few weeks with the gifts of the Spirit. What they are, what they mean, and what they're for. But folks, I want you to understand, the purpose of Pentecost wasn't to give the gift of tongues. That was not the purpose. The purpose of Pentecost was to display the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Christians, the followers of Christ. It wasn't what the disciples were doing. It was what God was doing through them. And what He was doing was giving the disciples the ability to proclaim the wonders of God so that the foreigners could understand. This was a great evangelistic meeting. There were thousands of people from all over the world hearing the good news, the gospel, the great wonders of God. Imagine how many people would hear about that back home. Take for instance if someone came in here this morning to our worship service and they only spoke Chinese. Maybe they only spoke Japanese or Italian or French. That's all they spoke. They didn't understand English, but you invited them here. And I was standing here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be able to understand, would they? They wouldn't be able to understand. But let's say, for instance, God gives Joyce the ability to speak in Italian. And He gives Tweet the ability to speak in French. And He gives someone else the ability to speak in Japanese and somebody else the ability to speak in Chinese. And they stand up and they proclaim the wonders of God. I'm speaking in English. They're speaking in other tongues or languages. And those people from all over the place that only spoke in their native languages would fully understand because of the gift of glossa given to those people. The people say, "How can this be?" And some said it was because they're drunk. Look at them, they're drunks. Peter said, "No, they're not drunk." Later on, as Peter stood up, and we're going to talk about this next week, he said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. And you yourselves know this. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this. Of the fact." He says, "We're witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see right here and hear." What Peter is saying to them is, they're not full of wine, they're full of the Holy Spirit. Just like God said they would be. God did just exactly what he said he would do. Full of the Holy Spirit and given gifts to proclaim the wonders of God to all of you from all over the world. Now, the focus is not on speaking in other tongues, as many traditions today believe. If it was, all Christians would speak in tongues. Because the Bible teaches that when you come to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you and seals you until the day of redemption. And if that were true, everyone who believed and received Christ would speak in tongues. The focus here is on the reason that this happened in the first place, to proclaim the wonders and workings of God. Jesus told them to wait in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my what? Witnesses." You'll receive the power, you'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In order to witness to the ends of the earth, they would have to speak the languages of the people from the ends of the earth. People from all over were in Jerusalem, and they witnessed this event, but even better, they went away knowing about the wonders of Almighty God, because they not only saw, but they understood. Imagine if they had seen all this and went away thinking, "Man, those guys are crazy. They're nuts. They're drunk." But they understood because God gave them the utterance. He gave them the ability so that all those people would understand. This wasn't some crazy weird display to get people's attention and to make the disciples feel special. This was an incredibly awesome display of the power of Almighty God working in and through followers of Jesus Christ to get the message of God out there to the world. Now don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not discrediting the gift of tongues. The Bible teaches that that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But that is not what was going on here. The Comforter and the Counselor and the Helper had come. And now Christ's followers not only had Him with them, but in them. And God's great supernatural power was given to Christ's followers, the church. And the Spirit, which in Greek is pneuma, which means a current of air or breath. The pneuma, the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, breathed life that day into the church of Jesus Christ. Just like God breathed life into the nostrils of the man that He created from the dust of the earth, giving him life. And as the dry bones in the valley described in Ezekiel 37 came together and tendons and flesh appeared on them, they still did not have life until the breath was breathed into them. And the church is flesh and bone, but it has no life until the Holy Spirit is breathed into it. Just like that, God breathes His Spirit into the flesh and bones of the followers of Christ and still does today, giving the church life. Supernatural life and omnipotent power to declare the wonders of Almighty God and to witness to the world that the church is God's anointed. And the gates of hell shall never prevail over it because the Spirit of God is inside it. No world. We're not drunk. We're not crazy. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And may God's grace always fill us to overflowing so that through us others might know the wonders of God. Let's pray.